You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine, along with co-host Pat Traina, and we're coming to you on Monday, the day after the Giants' first victory of the 2018 season. Patty, finally a victory to talk about.
Yes, finally a victory to talk about. And you know what, Ed? I tell you, I got to stop making predictions on your site. I'm just terrible at it.
Well, you know what, Patty? I'm 0-3 this year. And you know, I mean, I hate to admit it, but there's not a single Big Blue View writer that got the game correct yesterday. Not one of us.
Oh, man.
And, you know, I have to say this. I really, really, really was tempted to pick the Giants. I really kind of – but I kept looking at the numbers. I kept looking at the spread. I kept looking at the fact that the Giants were the away team. And I'm like, there's nothing here that justifies me picking the Giants, so I just can't do it. And as a website, you know, we're terrible at picking games. So just keep that in mind, folks.
Yeah, that goes for me. And yet the irony, Ed, is in fantasy football, I made all the right picks when it came to this game. But, you know, just getting back to this, you know, picking this game, we didn't know about the change at right tackle. You know, there were a couple of other things we didn't know about, but we'll break it all down. But, you know, there's always next week, I guess.
Next week when Ed probably goes 0-4. Whatever I pick, folks, just put your money on the opposite. You know, when I've done full league picks in the past, I've always said, you know, done that with the premise of, you know, folks, I'm lousy at picking games, so whatever I say, don't listen.
That's why I don't like to do them either. But anyway.
Anyway, what we thought we would do today, folks, we'll go through offense, defense, special teams. In our three segments of today's Locked On Giants show, you know, we'll break down the different facets of the game. And Patty, so we'll have to start with offense, and we have to start, I guess, with Eric Flowers no longer being a member of the Giants' starting offense.
Did you ever think you would see the day?
Well, I think we called for it, you know, for maybe the last 2 years, but I'm not sure we, you know, that I thought I'd see it happen this year.
Yeah, you know, first of all, kudos to Shermer and to Gettleman, because they could have easily, you know, taken the approach of the past regime where, okay, you know what, number one draft pick, he counts as he's the ninth highest cap hit, you know, get him on the field, coach him up. But, you know, they finally realized, I think, that Flowers has now had three different coaches. I think he's been in three different systems, and the results have been the same. So after a while, you have to say, okay, we've changed coaches, we've changed systems, but we're still kind of getting the same inconsistent results. That's on the player, you know, and we pointed back to, you know, the week one loss when he seemed uncertain or kind of admitted, at least that was my interpretation, that he admitted that he wasn't familiar with the type of player that I think it was Calais Campbell was, which I know raised a red flag for you as it did for me. And you just wonder if all these little things just added up to where Shermer said, you know what, enough is enough. I'm going to go with Wheeler, you know, because yes, he's not a first round pick, a top 10 pick, but at least the guy is preparing. And I have more confidence that he knows how to handle himself out there than my number one draft pick who's currently in that spot. And that's exactly what he did. You know, they swallowed their pride and they basically admitted, hey, you know, this isn't working out and we're going in a different direction.
Patty, it's easier for a new regime like, you know, Gettleman and Shermer, who didn't draft Flowers, I think it's easier, you know, for them to make that move or to just move on from a player. I think Shermer has said in the past, you know, at some point a player's draft status goes away. At some point he can either play or he can't. And, you know, that was the point I think they reached with Eric Flowers. They gave him, you know, every opportunity. There was a lot of talk last week about guys knowing their assignments. And I think in the end, I think we see that a lot of that, you know, no one named names, but I think a lot of that was probably, you know, directed at Flowers. And let's not kid ourselves here, Patty. Chad Wheeler did not exactly play incredibly well on Sunday. If that's the kind of performance that we get from Chad Wheeler at right tackle on a week in and week out basis, you know, giving up the three sacks, I don't know what his Pro Football Focus grade was. I don't really care about the PFF grades. You know, I know that people get hung up on those. But look, you know, if he gives up three sacks every week, if he gets embarrassed on a few snaps the way that J.J. Watt embarrassed him, that's not going to be good enough on a weekly basis. It was good enough on Sunday for the simple reason that the rest of the offensive line, the tight ends, fullback Elijah Penny when he was in the game, the rest of the guys blocking did their jobs really, really well. And it was good enough because we didn't see the communication errors. We didn't see free runners, you know, with guys not sure who they were supposed to block. And we didn't see the penalties. It was good enough for those reasons. But, you know, let's not say that Chad Wheeler lit the world on fire. He just helped for the simple reason that the line as a whole functioned better and there weren't the major breakdowns.
Right, and just to go back to your point, look, J.J. Watt is probably a future Hall of Fame defensive lineman. I mean, the man is amazing. He's so quick. He's so explosive. And I have to think that he's given offensive tackles who are, you know, more experienced than Chad Wheeler fits. You know, he's probably beaten a few of them in his day as well. So it was a good test, but I will say this. You know, you look at the stat line and you say, oh, Wheeler had a rough, you know, go of it. But I don't think necessarily that Watt took over the game, as evidenced by the fact that the Giants were able to run the ball. They averaged 4.2 yards per carry. Eli Manning went 25 of 29. I mean, to me, a guy who takes over a game on defense basically disrupts all that production. And I don't think we can say that about Watt. You know, yes, he created fits. I mean, there were a couple plays, and I just diagrammed them actually for my film study that's going to hit the run on The Athletic tomorrow morning. But, you know, there were also some good plays from Wheeler where he just locked onto Watt and rode him right out of harm's way in the running game.
Patty, the last thing I'll say about J.J. Watt is, you know, folks that read Big Blue View know that I do kudos and wet willies the day after games, and I rarely, if ever, do this, but I actually included J.J. Watt in my kudos section today, you know, simply because he reminded us that he's a three-time, you know, AP Defensive Player of the Year. He reminded us yesterday just how great he actually is. But Patty, let's switch gears. Let's talk about something else on offense. And let me just say this. Can we please put to rest the idea that Eli Manning has nothing left in the tank? I think he played, as far as a regular season game, he played as well on Sunday as I may have ever seen him play, as efficiently and as well as I've seen him play in a very, very long time.
Yeah, and amen to that. I mean, all week long, all season long, I've had people screaming at me, Eli's done, why are you defending him? What's the matter, are you blind? And I kept telling people, give him a good supporting cast who does its job and watch how effective he can be. And this goes for any quarterback, folks. Any quarterback is going to need his offensive line to block. Any quarterback is going to need a running game. Any quarterback is going to need his receivers to run crisp routes. And I think yesterday, you know, the receivers, the tight ends, those were the best routes I've seen all year from that group. And everything just clicked. And Eli was able to do what he does best. You know, he was able to move around a little bit in the pocket, move away from pressure, you know, extend a couple plays here and there. I mean, everything fell into place, and that's the Eli that I think Pat Shurmur and Dave Gettleman both saw when they looked at the film, you know, back way back in, you know, last year, towards the end of last year, when they decided that, yes, this guy can still play football for us.
I looked at it, Patty, and I said, this is what the Giants offense can look like when they get some run blocking, when they have some success on first down. And yes, Eli was sacked four times yesterday, but when you look at it, how many times was he pressured when he wasn't sacked? How many times was he pressured? There were very few times when the ball came out earlier than he would have liked it to come out. You know, for the most part, he was able to go back, go through his progressions, look at his reads, and make the throw he wanted to make when he wanted to make it with his feet set. And when he can do that, you know, what I wrote at Big Blue View was, this is the way that Pat Shurmur and Dave Gettleman envisioned this offense working. Saquon Barkley, you know, giving them a running game, giving them an option, you know, as an extra pass receiver. We saw some of that yesterday. Eli standing at the line of scrimmage, looking at the mismatch, identifying when Odell Beckham is double covered and Sterling Shepard has single coverage, finding the right place to throw the ball and delivering it. You know, we saw some big plays. We saw some pretty good running. You know, we saw Saquon Barkley do, you know, what I'm coming to call Saquon Barkley things, you know, on a few plays. But I looked at it and I just thought, this is the way that the Giants envisioned playing offensive football. And it's really the first time this season that we've seen all of the pieces work the way that they're supposed to work.
Yeah, and this is what I've been saying for I don't know how long, you know. People look at Baker Mayfield and they say, oh, what could have been? You know, they look at Sam Darnold, oh, what could have been? Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, you know, you name the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, what could have been? And, you know, I get it. Eli is getting up there in age and he's not going to be around for the next, you know, 5 or 10 years. I get that. But, you know, you look at the way this team is set up, and this team is set up to win now. And I just think that had they gone in a different direction at quarterback, you basically would have been looking at a 2 to 3 year rebuild period. And what people don't take into consideration is you're likely going to have a work stoppage after the 2020 season. And that's going to put everything on hold unless, you know, a miracle happens and the NFLPA and the NFL, you know, they get together on the same page. So you strike now while the iron is hot, and then you look to maybe, you know, start over or, you know, bring a new guy in and start to develop him after, you know, that point.
Patty, this is why I've said, you know, when the Giants made this choice with Eli Manning, and what's important, we saw yesterday that Eli Manning can still get the job done. What's important to justify the choice, the path that the Giants made, you know, it's important that they're a contending football team that has an opportunity to win. You can't, you know, which is why yesterday was so critical for them. If they're going to justify the path that they took, they simply can't start a season 0-3. They can't have another 4-win season. They have to put a good product on the field in the short term. You know, the long term, who knows what's going to happen? Like, who knows if there's going to be a work stoppage? Who knows if, you know, if Saquon Barkley's going to at some point, you know, suffer a debilitating injury? Who knows what's going to happen to Sam Darnold down the road, you know, for the New York Jets? The Giants, you know, they're in the situation where they have chosen the short-term path, and let's see where it goes. But, you know, they have to have days like yesterday. They have to win football games, and they have to contend. And if they do that, then I think they're fine, and you worry about the future when you have to worry about the future.
Exactly. I mean, you can only worry about what you have today. And, you know, yes, you do have to keep an eye on the future, but you can't, you know, spend 90% of your time planning for something down the line. You have to kind of proportion your time accordingly so that you're addressing what your needs are today, the direction you want to head in today, and then you worry about that other stuff, you know, as it comes up. And it'll come up quick enough.
Patty, a couple of other offensive topics to address. You know, the injury. Let's talk about the injury to Evan Engram, you know, as our last offensive topic of the day before we move on and discuss other things. I guess, you know, Pat Shurmur didn't want to talk about it a whole lot today, but the reports that we've seen are, you know, indicate MCL sprain, indicate week to week, you know, could be 3 weeks, could be 6 weeks. So, you know, could be worse, you know, for Engram, but could be a lot better. And you know, losing him is a big blow to that offense.
Yeah, that was wow. I mean, it could have been worse. It could have been a season-ending injury. You know, I don't like to play the woulda, coulda, shoulda type of game. Any time missed is certainly time you don't want to see. You know, especially with the schedule this team has coming up. So the loss of Engram is kind of a big blow, because if you think about it, Ed, Engram was kind of like their unofficial third receiver. And now that he is out of the lineup, it's going to present more opportunities for, I suppose, Cody Latimer, maybe Russell Shepard, Red Ellison, who I continue to say is very underrated as a pass receiver. Ellison had three targets, and he caught all three of them, I believe, for 39 yards. So there's going to be opportunities for other guys. But, you know, Engram was the type of guy you can move around and create mismatches. And now you're not going to have him for, you know, a week, you know, a few weeks or whatever.
Well, you know, despite the fact that Engram, you know, has had issues all of last year and even at the beginning of this year with drops, he creates mismatches and situations that few tight ends can create. And the Giants will miss that. There's no way around it. You know, thank goodness, you know, his injury doesn't appear to be season ending. But there's no way around the fact that the Giants will miss him. I'll be kind of interested. You know, you and I both talked to Elijah Penny last week, and he told us that you know, the Giants' new fullback, he told us that he's also played some tight end. I'm kind of interested to see if the Giants, you know, make some type of roster move to add a true third tight end, you know, with Engram down for a while, or if they use Penny in that role, you know, because right now they only have two healthy tight ends in Red Ellison and Scott Simonson, and that's just that's probably not going to cut it.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it might. Again, Ellison, to me, is an underrated performer as a pass receiver. But you're right. You know, he's not Evan Engram. So I'm very curious to see what the Giants end up doing there.
Patty, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsors, and then we will come back and we will turn our attention to the Giants' defensive performance on Sunday.
Locked On NFL is becoming everyone's favorite daily national NFL podcast. Mondays, it's the local experts on the biggest stories of the week. Tuesdays, former NFL quarterback Sage Rosenfels joins Matt Williamson. On Wednesday, it is Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus. Thursdays, the great Mike Sando of ESPN joins the show. And on Fridays, get Matt's picks for the weekend games.
Giants fans, let's talk about advice. Patty and I are always being asked for it, but one thing we can't do is tell you who is going to win or lose the games. If you think you know, you've got to check out MyBookie. MyBookie has been in business for years, has great online reviews, and offers an easy-to-use mobile site. You win, MyBookie pays. It's that simple. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Wait until after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and MyBookie will give you an extra $25 free play on deposits of more than $100. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate this special offer for our listeners. With MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Okay, Giants fans, Ed Valentine and Patricia Traina here with the second segment of today's Locked On Giants podcast. We spent the first segment talking about offense in the Giants' 27-22 victory Sunday over the Houston Texans. Let's turn to the defensive side of the ball. And, Patty, I don't know if you saw it, but I got a kick out of the photo of a whole bunch of the Giants' defensive players, basically posing in their muscle poses, after Sunday's game, feeling pretty good about themselves, and they had a lot to feel good about.
I did see it. As a matter of fact, I think I used that picture for one of my articles as the main photo. And yeah, you're right. It was a nice, lighthearted moment. But the defense, they had another solid game. Now you look at the yardage, and you say, well, the Texans, they had 427 net yards to the Giants 379. But the Giants defense also had two key turnovers, both of which snuffed out scoring drives, including Alec Ogletree's interception in the end zone, which was a huge, huge play. You had Kerry Wynn, was it? He forced a fumble. I forget exactly where they were, but Kerry Wynn, my gosh, he's just been on fire, with Olivier Vernon out and Josh Morrow on suspension. Kerry Wynn has probably been the unsung hero on that defense, the way he has stepped up and delivered the goods. So the Houston receivers, Will Fuller, DeAndre Hopkins, let me see what they did. I don't think they, really damaged the Giants too much. No, I take that back. Fuller had 101 yards and a touchdown. Hopkins was held to 86 yards, no touchdowns. But, the bottom line is, I can live with the Texans having more yards so long as the Giants end up with more points.
Exactly, Patty. I have to say one thing about Kerry Wynn. I mean, he's been, I think this is his fifth year with the Giants, undrafted free agent, who really has been a nice backup, but nothing special for the first 4 years of his career. All I know is whatever Kerry Wynn is eating for breakfast these days, I want some.
I'm with you, Ed.
And the other thing that I will say is, look, when it comes to defense, everybody uses this stat and that stat, and they talk about yardage and yards per play, and everybody gets worried about, how many yards a game everybody gives up. Look, I have come to believe that defense in the NFL is about two things. It's about creating turnovers, making plays, and it's about keeping the other team out of the end zone. And the Giants did those things yesterday. And when you do those things, when you force field goals instead of touchdowns, and when you create turnovers, you're playing winning defense. I don't care what the yardage is. I don't care what the sack numbers are. I don't care what the time of possession is. When you do those things on defense, Pat Shurmur uses the phrase winning performance all the time. And when you do those things on defense, that's a winning performance.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And, ultimately, we talk about at the start of the season how the starting offense, the starting defense, they don't really play much together. I think both units needed to kind of get a feel for each other. You can only get so much in practice. And I think now you're starting to see the Giants defense settle in. They weren't really tested so much by a scrambling quarterback. I don't think Watson ran many, if any, RPOs yesterday. I think most of his running was a result of him scrambling, you know, to avoid the rush and whatnot. But the defense, the Giants defense, is starting to settle down now. And it's actually been, you know, it's been very encouraging considering, again, they didn't have Eli Apple. They didn't have Olivier Vernon. They don't have Josh Morrow. So imagine what it's going to look like when those guys get back.
Let me say this, Patty. You know, we have, and Giants fans have, you know, gnashed their teeth and worried about offensive line play, you know, forever and ever. But that Houston Texans offensive line is just terrible. And you know, to their credit, the Giants took advantage of that yesterday. You know, they got some impact plays from B.J. Hill and Lorenzo Carter and Kerry Wynn. And by the way, memo to the Texans, that guy number 98 for the Giants in the middle, Damon Harrison, he's pretty good. It's not a good idea to run the ball directly at him.
I couldn't believe that. I was shocked.
I don't know what they thought they were doing, but running the ball between the tackles at Damon Harrison, I at Big Blue View, I compared it to trying to knock down a concrete wall by hitting it with a Nerf ball.
It was a head scratcher for sure. I mean, what the heck was? I think Bill O'Brien is their offensive coordinator. No,
I believe so. And I was, but I was like, what do you guys think you're doing? But
and I agree with you, by the way, about the offensive tackles. I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm saying, gosh, Giant fans think, you know, they have it bad with the, you know, Flowers and whatnot. You know, how'd you like to be the Texans? I mean, how, 5 penalties on Julian Davenport?
Crazy. I mean, I can remember, you know, Davenport as a guy a couple of years ago who I thought, you know, might even be a target for the Giants in the mid to late rounds. And, you know, and you watch him play and you're like, you know, what was I thinking? Because it's not impressive. But
yeah, it's the same way. I thought the same thing about Davenport too. So you're not alone there.
But I think that yesterday was also a good example for Giants fans that of two things. First of all, the Giants are not the only team in the NFL, you know, struggling to put together an offensive line, you know, and we saw, you know, some improvement from the Giants there yesterday. And the other thing, I actually have to make a quick comment, you know, about Deshaun Watson, which sort of gets away from the defense. You know, we saw Eli Manning yesterday complete 25 of 29. We saw Deshaun Watson, and really when I looked at it, the only time Deshaun Watson hurt the Giants defense were a few occasions when he got out of the pocket, was able to make some plays, you know, where guys got open, you know, while he was running around. What we saw from Deshaun Watson, in my view, yesterday was when he stood in the pocket, you know, when he stood in the pocket, he had no idea where the ball was going. He had open targets, you know, several times and couldn't hit them. And I'm like, you know, there's something to be said, you know, for a veteran quarterback who can stand in the pocket and throw the ball where it's supposed to go.
Ed, you're not supposed to say that. I mean, the young mobile quarterbacks, that's the rage, man. You're not supposed to say that.
I know, but I'm old and I'm grumpy and whatever. It is what it is. Patty, let's take another quick break for another word from our sponsors. We'll come back, we'll talk special teams, and we'll wrap up today's show.
Giants fans, we all love a night out, whether that's seeing our favorite band in person or being there in the crowd to cheer on our favorite sports team. With Vivid Seats, you can attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice at a great price. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. Sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice. To make things even better, Vivid Seats is giving listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer of Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event.
All right, Giants fans, Ed Valentine and Patricia Traina here with our final segment of today's Locked On Giants podcast. We've been through offense and defense as we look back at Sunday's victory over the Houston Texans. Let's talk a little bit about special teams. Then we'll offer some final thoughts, you know, as the Giants head to their fourth game of the season. And you know, I don't want to jinx anything, Patty, but that guy kicking field goals for the Giants hasn't missed one yet.
Uh-oh, Ed, you just did it.
You know what? I got yelled at on Twitter yesterday by a lot of people too, because at halftime, the Giants had 20 points, and I tossed out will this be the day that the Giants finally cracked the 30-point barrier? And of course they didn't. So I got yelled at on Twitter. So I'll probably get yelled at for this too.
I got yelled at on Twitter as well because I said the Giants hadn't punted at halftime. So I'm with you on that. But
yeah, we're blaming you for that one. Definitely.
Well, I guess I got to take my share of the blame. But yeah, Aldrick Rosas, I mean, he has been, you know, Mr. Automatic so far. And I'm saying this, folks, with my fingers crossed and my legs crossed and, you know, my arms crossed and everything crossed to ward off any jinxes here. So,
all right then.
Yeah, I'm not taking any chances here. But yeah, Rosas has been, you know, you can see there's a change in his kicking motion. I'm going to try and pull some film to do a comparison on that for this film study that I'm doing for The Athletic. But I know I've spoken to him about it. I've asked Thomas McGahee about it. And you can just tell that Rosas is a lot more comfortable with what he's doing than what he was, you know, trying to do last year. And, you know, the other thing, the other aspect of it is that Rosas doesn't let things bother him the way he did last year. Like, for example, if the hold was off or the snap was too low or something like that, he very easily got flustered. And as a kicker, you cannot be like that. You have to put that out of your mind. Trust your battery mates that they're going to, you know, make the hold correct and just do your job. And that was a problem with Rosas last year. And I'm glad to see he has finally developed that mental toughness. And I know that sounds weird, but, you know, sometimes a player, a young player like that, has to go through that firestorm, if you will, develop that mental toughness and realize that, hey, yeah, things might not always go the way I want them to, but I'm going to do my job regardless.
Patty, I guess, you know, when I look at special teams yesterday, you know, kind of moving past Rosas a little bit, you know, the best thing that I'll say about special teams yesterday was they didn't hurt the Giants at all. But, you know, Stacy Coley replaced Kalen Clay as the punt returner, and I know you tweeted about this, you know, but the first time Stacy Coley touched the ball, he muffed a punt. And I'm just shaking my head going, how hard is it? And I mean, I can't do it on a consistent basis, but how hard is it to find, you know, someone in the NFL who can catch a punt?
You know, it's an art. A few years ago, I asked, now I'm drawing a blank on the name of the guy, but he used to return kicks and punts, and I can't remember who the Giant was. But anyway, I said, what's the biggest difference? Why do some guys, you know, struggle more with punts than with kickoffs? And he told me it has to do with the rotation of the ball coming off the punter's foot. Like sometimes there's a spiral to it or it's end over end. And then he further explained how, you know, the ball travels a little differently off a left-footed punter versus a right-footed punter. So, you know, it's not like a kickoff where, you know, you're talking a longer distance or anything like that. It's there are little intricacies that make it tougher to field a punt than a kickoff. Now, I'm not making any excuses for Kalen Clay or Stacey Coley, because if you're collecting a paycheck, you should be able to do this. But, you know, you're right. I mean, the last several weeks, it's been an adventure on you know, punt returns, and one I know I could personally deal without. I mean, my blood pressure kind of just like jumps every time. And I'm like, uh-oh, you know? So I can just imagine what the coaches might be thinking.
Oh, I know. I saw Coley go down to his knees to try to catch that one on Sunday, and I was like, what are you doing? You know, and then the ball bounced out. But, you know, let's cross our fingers and hope that that's not something that happens on a continuous basis. But, you know, I mean, priority one, I think Bill Parcells always used to say, I think Parcells used Phil McConkie on punt returns for the Giants for years and years. And McConkie was never, you know, a guy who generated big yardage on the returns, you know, didn't generate big plays. But, you know, I think Parcells' theory was, when the other team punts the ball to us, we want to catch it and we want our offense to get on the field. And McConkie always accomplished that. And it's amazing to me, you know, that the Giants are struggling, you know, so much to find somebody who can give them at least that much in punt return.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be somebody out there, you would think. You know, at this point, I'd almost rather they bring back Hunter Sharp, who at least, you know, fielded the ball. And, you know, I know he had some rough spots earlier in the summer, but, you know, or Caleb Raymond even, you know, if the first responsibility is to catch the ball and secure it, get somebody who has better hands, you know. And then, you know, if you're able to get any yardage, then that's the gravy part of it. So I just don't understand that.
Oh, neither do I, Patty. Neither do I. But, you know, it's for us to just sit here and complain about, I suppose.
Sure, why not?
Hey, you know, we gotta have some things to complain about. Anyway, Patty, let's do this. Let's offer some final thoughts, you know, as we turn the page from the Giants' first win of the year. I mean, you know, Pat Shurmur had been saying over and over and over that he thought the Giants were on a good path even prior to this week. You know, and I had said, look, it's time for the Giants' path to include winning. You know, the Giants did finally win a game. I think we saw the blueprint, you know, for how they would like to play on Sunday. You know, the question going forward is going to be, you know, was Sunday's performance a blip, or was it something sustainable? I don't think we can answer that, but if it is sustainable, if they can continue to play offense that way, if they can continue, you know, to make enough plays and create some turnovers on defense, you know, then I think this could still turn out to be a successful season. You know, I came away yesterday, like I said, thinking, you know, that is the blueprint. That is what we need to see from the Giants to win football games.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, and I wrote the same thing. I know I tweeted after the game. I said, you know, that they had a balanced offense. This is what they need to do. You know, this is where they proved to be successful. And, you know, I even asked Pat Shurmur about that today on his conference call, and he gave me a quite a long-winded answer about, you know, balance and all that stuff. But, you know, you're right. And you know, for what it's worth, you know, Houston has playmakers, but overall they also have, I think, a few more issues than maybe the Giants had. You know, we mentioned the shakiness at their offensive tackle position, you know, as an example. And the Giants were able to cash in and win against a winless team. For me, I want to see that level of play continue against the schedule that they have coming up over the next several weeks, teams that were, you know, in playoff contention or in the playoffs. And if I can see them continue to sustain and not take that step backwards as they did, you know, from week one to week two, then I will know, to me, it'll answer the question of as to whether or not they have turned the corner.
Patty, the last thing for me, you know, and I'm sitting here thinking about the fact that that we're almost 40 minutes into a show here, and I don't even think we mentioned the name Odell Beckham at this point. Maybe we did early in the show, but I'm just thinking that of all the things that we saw, that had to be the quietest 9-catch, 109-yard receiving game that I think I've ever seen. And I think it's actually a great thing for the Giants that while they got production out of Odell Beckham, that they won a football game and he didn't have to do anything spectacular to help them do it.
No, and you know what? It's interesting you mentioned Odell's name, because Odell's presence on the field was instrumental in helping some of these other guys get open. And, you know, so sometimes it's not necessarily about the yards and the number of receptions. It's also about what your presence will do and how that maybe influences the defense on how to play their coverages. And I think we saw a great example of that yesterday with Beckham.
I think, you know, there was one play in particular, and it might have even been in the second quarter, where Eli hit Sterling Shepard down the field for, you know, 18 or 20 yards. And you could clearly see the play. Odell had a shallow crossing route. Two defenders went with Odell. A single defender went with Shepard. And this is what we've been talking about. This is how the Giants want to play. It's the conundrum they want to put defenses in. You choose to double Odell, you have a mismatch elsewhere. If you don't double Odell, he's going to kill you. And like I said, this is why I thought, you know, in a lot of ways yesterday was the blueprint, you know, that the Giants would hope to follow the rest of the way.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I think Pat Shurmur would agree with us if we said, you know, hey, was that the blueprint you were looking to, you know, establish? I mean, you know, you want to get the ball in Odell's hands, absolutely, but you're not going to be able to do it on every single play. And if you can just, you know, finagle it to where his presence is creating an opportunity for someone else to make a play, I think both Odell and Shurmur will take that every time.
I think so, Patty, and so will Giants fans when it results in victories. With that said, I think we will call it a show. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. It's a Tuesday, and I don't think we've done anything about it yet, Patty, but that makes
Tuesday.
It a Twitter Tuesday, so
yeah.
So we need to get cranking, and folks, get those questions in to us, you know, via Twitter, via email, LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail. You know, one of us will get a thread started here pretty quickly, you know, for your questions, and we will talk to you soon. All right. Bye-bye now.